Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
Hey everyone, I'm Sean.
And I'm Neil.
And welcome to Music Among Other Things, or MAOT for short, where we chat to musicians and creatives about music and the worlds that orbit it. And this is the second of a two-parter on people who have made it off their own backs and really done it themselves. And today we're going to be talking to Gareth Halliday, who by day is a postman, but by evening and in his spare time, he is creating artwork for Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. So we've got, another really great conversation where we're talking to somebody about how they really made it off their own back, and lots of stuff to get into with Gareth, I think, because particularly when you're balancing a day job, and I know a lot of people in the creative industries at the moment, you've got to really work double as hard to actually do the thing that you love doing and sustain it. So I think it's going to be really interesting to pick his brains around that.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's interesting because it's quite obviously different from Uwade, where I guess obviously Uwade is all about the music and everything, whereas this is just a slightly different angle, which is really cool to get into the artwork and a different angle of music. So no, I'm really excited to speak to Gareth and see, you know, what extent he actually had conversations with Noel, or
yeah,
was it just very much kind of his agent or what? Or it's quite an interesting setup. I can't imagine Noel just being taken aback by something like art, but
yeah, because he's quite like cavalier about stuff, isn't he?
So I can't imagine him caring, but it sounds like it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, and it's also, I don't know if you caught much of it recently, but he just brought out that Greatest Hits collection too. I think it's called Back to Where You Came, but he's been doing like a load of press around that. And yeah, it's crazy. It's been actually 10 years. Recently, I've been going through Oasis stuff again because, you know, it gets to the point where you overdo bands so much. And throughout my teenage years, obviously, when you discover music, I had the tab book. So I not only knew those songs, but I knew how to play every one of them. And, you know, you just overdo it. But once you have a bit of distance, and I think that's happening with Oasis for sure, is when you look back on their material, I enjoy it way more than I did a few years ago, where I thought it was a little bit overplayed and stuff. But I'm going back now, and I think that Supersonic documentary, I don't know if you saw that, Neil, that really brought it back for me as well, and really makes you appreciate that band because they have so many great songs. And obviously they didn't always, you know, proper break any boundaries or anything, but I think the thing that's remained constant for them, they just write really solid songs throughout their career, and that's still continuing, which is crazy.
Yeah, no, if anyone hasn't seen Supersonic, that is, they need to check that out. It's a fantastic music documentary.
Yeah.
No, I think I love the most about Oasis is that they're so easy to get into as well as like a young kid, in terms of, you know, you're starting out guitar, you're looking at these great songs to play, so many classic songs by big bands are so hard to learn, whereas Oasis songs are always so simple. Like, that's the beauty of them. It's similar to Coldplay, really, where they're just, they're very instant songs with Oasis. Chords are very easy to learn. So, yeah, they're a dream if you're just starting out in music as well, which is kind of part of their writing, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, you become that big stadium rock band because you have that appeal. And I think you can only really have that appeal when you are using those really simple ingredients and you're bringing them together in a great way or a really unique way. And you know, making them those mega songs from, you know, just like open chords and stuff. It's
they've not tried to do too much. They're just perfect at doing the basics right, I guess.
Yeah, no, exactly. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to get into it with Gareth. Like you said, I want to know what extent he's involved. Like, does he have to respond to the music with the artwork, or is it, you know, a chicken or egg thing? I think it's it's going to be great to get into this chat. So yeah, I think he's about to come on, so let's get into it.
Let's do it.
The kid's in bed, the silence is golden.
Oh wow.
Lovely.
Amazing. So. Well, good that we got you at this at the golden hour then. But but yeah, thanks so much for joining. Obviously, yeah, we're doing this episode on how people have become the real deal off their own back, and putting their own talent out there, and the story of how you got involved with Noel Gallagher and start your own thing is really fascinating. But I think, yeah, it'd be great to sort of start with your background. And I was also just looking at some of your like latest prints for 2021, and I love the Berwick Street one, because I used to be able to see that sign outside of my work where I used to work. So I used to look at it every day. It would just draw me, because it's like one letter away from my surname. So I always used to like get drawn to it for some reason. I love the story that you wrote along with it as well. The fact that you used to go down there to get art supplies, but then you get stuck in record shops and stuff like that. But it seems like
That was like, you know, the best alone time going, really. I mean, just record shop hopping and pub hopping and.
It can be a dangerous venture for the old wallet, I think. It's like, because I used to work like about 2 minutes away from there, it would just be every lunch break I'd just be looking around and like buying stuff.
It's like paradise, family. I mean, we haven't been for a while, but they're still there though, aren't they? I guess Sister Ray's still there, and
I believe so. Yeah, I don't know 100%, but I'm pretty sure they are. I think we would have heard about it otherwise. But it's also, I know down that street as well, funny enough, this cover of Morning Glory was shot the other way. Is that, I think that's right?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's weird that I did see like Liam Gallagher walk past once, but I noticed his walk before I actually noticed it was him. Do you know what I mean? That walk is very distinctive. So I was like, yeah, that's definitely him. But that exhibition sounds really interesting. The one you were sort of talking about, the sort of intersection of music and art, sounds like a great idea.
It was brilliant, actually. Yes, it was. I think they were called the Auction Collective. They sort of contacted me just before Christmas, of 2019, I think. So, yeah, it was alongside Best Vinyl, and they do like, you know, vinyl awards for best covers and stuff. That particular year, it was more just, you know, an auction alongside the best album thing. So it was, you know, it was lovely to be part of it.
Oh, amazing.
It was incredible, really. Basically, I think they hang my work between like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Ghosteen, and.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think Flying Lotus as well. And like they're both, you know, some of my favourite artists. So it was like, wow. So it was really nice to see the Noel's work next to those.
Oh, that's incredible. Because that Ghosteen artwork as well is like very, it's sort of like, it looks like it's from a Bible or something.
It does. It? Sort of fairy tale-y.
Yeah.
Sort of vibe to it. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, I love it.
In good company. It's good art. Sorry, did I introduce Neil? Sorry. we sort of just jumped straight into it.
I know.
Sorry, you're on with Neil as well. But I mean, it'd be great to get into your background a little bit and how you got, you know, how did you get into creating art in the first place?
In the late 90s, I did go to art college, but then I didn't actually do anything for about 10 years.
Right.
Up until about 2009. You know, it was always in the back of my mind, and it was niggling away in the back of my mind. Why am I not doing what I wanted to do? You know, and I think eventually it just sort of got to the point where I was like, right, laying out the foundations of what I could do to get back into it. So it might have taken 10 years, but within that time, I was, you know, I was just a massive music collector, and you know, I'd always be going to galleries and stuff, but I just wasn't doing anything. But then, you know, I guess at sort of 2008, I decided to start trying to, you know, after quite a long gap, I was a bit nervous, but you kind of not nervous, but you know, just if you haven't done it in 10 years, you're not going to be very good at it, are you? So I just sort of cracked on with it, I guess, and then just, you know, kept it very private and to myself, and I think I didn't really start showing anything for about 3 or 4 years.
Wow, yeah. It's interesting that, because I feel like a lot of, I mean, I certainly have it to a certain extent, because I've always loved like songwriting and everything, and I've always tinkered with it here and there, but it takes, I don't know, I haven't quite got to that point where I'm like, oh yeah, cause I think you get to a point where you're just like, oh, if I don't do it now, then when will I actually do it? And you feel like you need to put something out there.
I mean, obviously social media helped massively, because you know, being quite introverted anyway, I wouldn't be running around galleries saying, oh, look at this, blah, 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 you know, kind of. So you put things out there on, you know, even Facebook was all right back then, because there was like a massive community of collage artists or...
Right, yeah.
They were all really kind of backing each other up. It was brilliant. And I guess you sort of gain confidence from that, and feel like you're part of a community.
Definitely.
I think, you know, like, it's watered down now, like Facebook has kind of watered down everything. Mm. But back then it was great. And then, you know, it led to like exhibitions and stuff with, you know, like-minded people from the same sort of area. And we'd end up holding exhibitions, I guess. Amazing. And, you know, like derelict buildings or... I'll make it sound like it's like really off the, but you know, these buildings were you know, a Marylebone's street, you know, in nice areas and stuff. So, and I guess from there, you hold something in an area like that, and things get noticed, I guess. So,
yeah,
and at the time, sort of collage art was really kind of booming, I think, or it was, you know, it was definitely coming up, if you like.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess the background of what I've been doing is from sort of 8 to 10 years. But it all started just from...
just getting back into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever have like a goal in mind? Or was it always, I'm just doing this for myself, and if it works, then great.
Exactly. It was literally... at the point where I guess I sort of found my confidence in it, because I realised that I just wanted to do it for myself. As I think before, there was sort of, you know, you come out of like uni or whatever, and you think, if you don't make it straight away, you feel like you're a failure.
Yeah.
Doing art or something related to that. So you kind of give it up. But I thought I'd give it another shot, but only... under my terms, if you like. So, just for myself. And that was that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably like a consistent thing we see with people in a similar boat. They're always doing it for themselves out of a passion. You know, this new kind of breed of influencers you have, they all kind of... They're doing it because they want to be famous rather than a consequence of having that passion for something.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing it to be famous. I was doing it to stay sane.
Yeah.
And,
And to be honest, I've been toying with the idea of being an art therapist for like 15 years. So,
oh, amazing.
I'd love to go down that route at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, I think just finding something again that you have a massive passion for is sort of the thing that, you know, made me really happy, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Have you always sort of developed this alongside having a day job? Because that's something we're quite interested in as well. I mean, this podcast, you know, obviously we have day jobs, and then we do this in the evening. And I feel like a lot of people in the art sector, we know musicians, and a lot of them, they have to have day jobs and balance everything out, because you know, it's crazy, like, you know, the actual lack of money and everything. So it almost like weeds it out in a way, because only the real passionate people are going to sort of stick around to actually do that. So there is that nice side of it, but also, you know, it'll be nicer if these artists could actually have the time to think and actually adapt their ideas and stuff. But yeah, has that always been the case with you?
I mean, I work as a postman, and it's physically demanding job, to the point where most days you get home from work, all you want to do is sleep or just lay down.
Yeah,
totally. And it's really, quite frustrating, particularly if you want to do sort of artwork. But
yeah,
I guess you have to sort of look at the bigger picture and find the little tunnels to do it when you can, if you know what I mean. You know, so, but yeah, I've always worked full time doing something else. But in a way, that kind of drives you, that makes you more hungry to do the, to do the artwork, I guess. I guess
if you're passionate enough, then you'll find the time, won't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, going back 10 years ago, about that little story I was saying, that's the lesson I learned was if I found something that makes me happy, so do it when you get the opportunity, I guess. I shouldn't completely diss the job. Yeah, it does have. I listen to music pretty much about.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it's an 8-hour day, so I'll listen to music about 6 hours of the day, and you know you're out in the open, so
yeah,
not so much recently, but you know a few years ago, it I think sort of breeding ground for ideas to sort of just pop up and stuff.
Yeah,
and I started using it to my advantage. You know, you sort of start thinking, hang on a minute, you know. I don't really need to talk about ground level shit with my colleagues. So that sounds horrible, but I can have my earbuds in and listen to an audio book about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what, but you know, something where you feel like you're developing, you know, you're not wasting your time.
Yeah.
Something where you feel like you're. Something that inspires you, I guess.
Yeah.
So in that respect, yeah, you sort of think, well, actually, I'm clocking up quite a lot of hours sort of learning or keeping it inspired. So there's that freedom of the job because, you know, a lot of jobs you can't switch off. You know, you've got to talk to a lot of people. Luckily, I don't have to talk to anyone.
Yeah, totally.
Really.
Totally.
So that's the good thing about the job.
Yeah.
And, when I'd be on delivery, I'd be, oh, I've got this idea all of a sudden. You know,
yeah.
And then... texting it, and then
I actually I actually saw a guy who was like delivering parcels, and he had like an acoustic guitar in his van. And I think I must have seen him
Like,
when he was on a break or something, and he was like writing songs. So I'm looking out for that guy. I don't know if I'd be able to recognize him, but there must be.
The Royal Mail, that they're you know, they hold a lot of misunderstood talents.
Yeah, it's really interesting that, I think. It'd be interesting also to talk about the I know you said like the sort of collage art and montages were had a bit of a renaissance or something when you were starting out again, but were you always drawn to that style of artwork? Has that always been something?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, even from sort of, you know, secondary school, that's what I was doing. I was really into, you know, cubism, sort of Picasso and Braque and, well, I suppose you could say pop art was kind of an extension of that as well. So, and then obviously at the same time, you know, you're looking at record label covers like, you know, Beatles, White Album, Sgt. Pepper's, you know, pop, just sort of collage and pop culture kind of merging together through sort of music, I guess. That's what sort of was into from quite a young age.
Yeah. So it's always been like the musical draw to it, to art.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, you know, back, it was literally just a matter of a year's change at school where you sort of discover, you know, decent record covers and.
Yeah.
Music and sort of changed your perception of art, I guess, and that's that's what kind of happened, I think. So
yeah,
I've always been drawn to collage.
Yeah,
mainly because I'm not very good at drawing. But
totally. How did you end up becoming involved with Noel Gallagher's High Flying Bird? So you've done like you did the actual album artwork for Who Built the Moon, and I know you did a number of the subsequent singles as well, but. Yeah, how did that come about in the first place? Was that sort of out of the blue, or was it just something building?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Well, it felt completely out of the blue. Definitely. I'll even, you know, it was literally my son's funeral, And then that same evening, I got a message come through saying that Noel Gallagher's bought two of your prints. So I was like, bloody hell. You know, it's a bit surreal. And then from there, you know, I was like, I contacted the email that came with the order saying, is this the Noel Gallagher? And not that there are many Noel Gallaghers, but a few weeks later, he emailed me and sort of said, would you be interested in a project somewhere down the line?
Mm.
And, I was like, well, yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So it just literally kind of felt like it came out of the blue. Mm. I think I do know that he saw my work in Damon Albarn's Studio 13.
Mm.
I think, but I wasn't aware that there was any work hanging there at the time.
Right.
Remy Kabaka, who is part of Gorillaz, mm. I'd met him sort of, I don't know, 6 months previous, and he bought some work off me.
Oh, wow.
So, and so we sort of became friends. So, yeah, I guess Noel might have seen my work when he was recording that one track that he did with Gorillaz on the Humans album.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what's happened there. I think he asked who did this particular collage, and then that was it. I got sales of the work, and completely out of the blue, yeah.
I like the idea that maybe the whole Britpop rivalry thing was like still hanging heavy in the room, and then they looked at your artwork and you were the sort of the saving grace, and they were like, oh, this artwork, this is, maybe you bonded. Maybe you
imagine bonded. That.
Yeah, the war is over.
it finally bonded them. Yeah, I mean, it was a complete head fuck, if I'm honest, because,
yeah.
You know, I'm fans of Blur and Oasis, and in this day and age, I don't think you can still say that, but you know, I was back then, so I was like, hang on a minute. My work's in Damon Albarn's studio, and then the Oasis fella has seen it, and now wants me to do his new album.
Yeah.
And I've never done an album before, any work for anyone. So, yeah, it was, what's the, well, yeah, it was a bit of a head.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much kind of, from there, I guess, how much freedom did you have, or did he have a... Did he give you kind of vibes of what he wanted, or did he just say,
yeah, absolutely, I don't
know, here's the name of the album, go?
No, he was really helpful. But, you know, in terms of, he sent me sort of images of collages, and thankfully, I was like, oh, I can do better than that.
Nice.
Because they were quite, I don't know, they had the sort of aesthetic of what I guess he wanted at the time. Cosmic poppy kind of stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And just sent me the lyrics and I got the demos, but mainly I just worked from the demo, really.
Mm.
And what can I say? I don't know. I just sort of threw myself into it because I've never, it was like a dream, the dream job that just sort of arised.
I was going to say, for somebody who so intrinsically sees music and art linked, that's the ultimate job, really. You know, that's
exactly.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Especially as it's not like you applied for it almost. So it's just because it's come so out of the blue. It's just one in a billion things.
There's been a lot of times where I've thought someone up there's being really kind to me here because this is like the ultimate job. Yeah.
Totally. I know, you know, Who Built the Moon, I think, is probably Noel Gallagher's most interesting work he's done, because I felt like he's one of those guys who always says, oh, the next thing I'm going to do is going to be, like, really out there or something. And it never quite, you know, stood up until Who Built the Moon, where I think he was truly doing something really different. So the fact that you had ears on the first demos, I mean, what were your, like, initial reactions? Because I think probably as more of a Blur... If you were like a Blur and Oasis fan, or you were like a double agent, I know Blur always had the dip into like the more arty side of things, and they played with the form a bit more than Oasis. So Was it quite? Yeah. What were your first impressions of that? That those sort of demos?
Like, wow, he's gonna piss off a lot of Oasis fans. Aren't gonna really like this very much.
Yeah.
I just thought this is just so not Oasis, or even like his, you know, two solo albums previous. I just thought, if I'm honest, I felt a bit of pressure.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, fuck, I'm part of something here, which is probably going to be... But immediately, I liked that. I liked the fact that it could be completely different. And
yeah.
And that in itself was quite inspiring. But I will admit, there were a few moments where I was like, am I going to be part of something which is going to be like the second version of Dylan going electric?
Always be that cover associated with it, such negativity.
yeah but I mean, if I'm honest, I did see it, the reaction literally was sort of split 50-50, so at least it wasn't completely, and admittedly I'm not very not that modest, but I didn't see that many negative comments about the artwork, so I'm quite happy about that.
Well, exactly, yeah.
So, I just felt, oh, yeah, did the right job, I think. I hope. I'm still not sure, but, you know.
No, definitely.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing, though. It's very, like, really striking as, you know, all your work has been. And, yeah, I think it's great to be part of that era of Noah as well, because like you say, it was such like a turning point for him, and it feels to me like he's got more creative freedom than ever. You know, he's like 10 years into this solo career, and any nerves he must have had at the start must be totally wiped away at this point.
I literally feel like I think he's just going to go wherever his inspiration takes him, really.
Yeah.
I think that's where I think he's been freed up, and I completely get the whole the chains of Oasis, if you like. I think they might, you know, been completely kind of lifted, if you like.
Yeah, totally.
I see it in a very smaller scale, where I get jobs where they're like, I want work just exactly the same as what you did for Noel, you know. And you kind of think, oh, you know, on a very much smaller scale, like, well, that's pretty boring, you know, done that.
yeah.
But yeah, I think, I have no idea where he'll be going next, but I'm sure he'll just get better, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of those artists, isn't he, that's earned that right to do what he wants. We were talking about Tranquility Base Hotel album from like Alex Turner and Arctic Monkeys. And I guess it's a similar path where like Alex Turner and Arctic Monkeys can do whatever they want now.
just earned that right. That came out roughly about the same time, I think.
Really?
And that album was just, for me, I absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
For me, Alex Turner's talent just, right, yeah, he's up there now with some of the best.
Totally.
But yeah, I think it's just, I think artists should have that. If they haven't got the ability to just be free, then I'm not going to say what's the point, but
yeah. No, it's true.
I suppose, if you're not doing it for yourself, what's the point?
Yeah,
basically,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, you don't want to sort of replicate what you're doing with the Noel Gallagher stuff. I mean, have you sort of broadened the sort of art you're doing, or is it just like a different approach that you're maybe more interested in to collages and things of that nature?
It's hard to say, really, because I think that the juggling of the day job, the family life situation, and I can't move as quickly as I'd like to artistically.
Yeah,
because there's not enough time. It might be like one day out of seven where I can sort of have that time. That's how limited it is. So I guess I've just got to sort of be happy with what I've got at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, in collages, I'm happy to do collage, you know what I mean? Ideally, in an ideal world, I'd love to be well, obviously loaded, and just be a painter hermit in the middle of a cave. You know, yeah, what I mean?
That's the idea.
That would be my idea of heaven.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. I spoke to Orlando Weeks from the Maccabees, and he does a lot of artwork and things of that nature. And he just became a parent when I spoke to him maybe last year, and he was saying how when you become a parent, you have these sort of limited windows, but it, because you know how restricted that window is, you sort of get more done in a way, or then you would have, you had endless hours to do stuff, which I
think. Absolutely. Yeah. I can give you a good example. Doing the artwork for This Is The Place EP for Noel. My daughter had chicken pox, so she couldn't go to nursery. So I was stuck with her for 2 weeks because that's the period of time that they aren't allowed back to nursery. And I was trying to do the artwork for that in between her naps. And, you know, they could be up an hour to 2 hours in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then in the evening. And yeah, literally, if you don't take those windows, then it's not going to happen. Yeah. So you just learn to take the windows, I guess. But it's harder in the evening because you just kind of want to crash out. But it makes, yeah, it just makes you look back at the 10 years I didn't do anything and think, what a waste of time.
Yeah, I think it's like a mentality. I feel like it's also maybe an older thing, like you were saying, like the older you get, the less you care about maybe what people will think about it, or you don't have as much, like, you know, desperation to make something of yourself. So it just, that's when the best stuff happens, I think. I like the idea that, you know, over the next few years, there'll be like a load of sort of Leonard Cohen sort of figures coming out with debut albums when they're like 35 or something. And, you know, yeah, I can definitely see something like that happen. Well, I'm hoping that for myself anyway. So you never
I think going bald helps as lot as well. You know, you sort of think, right, there's no point going out now. And that helps sort of, you know, concentrate on the art a lot more.
Definitely. There we are, the big reveal.
There's like no need to go and flutter my feathers anymore, because I don't have any. Yeah, you know, just sort of just becoming a hermit to do what you feel like you were supposed to do. That's what it was, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, where you can find time, is there anything you're working on particularly at the moment, or is it just doing stuff for yourself and putting your own artwork out there?
And I've got band work on at the moment, actually.
Oh, great.
So it's just literally come on like the last week, so it's quite exciting, actually. So Curse of Luno is the band's name.
Oh, right, nice.
But they're really good. They're kind of Americana, dark Americana, kind of the national kind of thing.
Oh, nice one. Oh, great.
So yeah, they're really good, and what they want is really good as well. So
awesome.
Is that quite important to you as well, where you've got to like the music, or will you just take a, like, treat it as like a client, or do you really need to believe in a project as well?
Yeah, I need to get into it, really.
Yeah, that's
otherwise cool. Just because if you're really into it, it's sort of just lingering at the back of your head the whole time, even if you're doing other things like washing up, changing, washing your kid, or it's still there.
Yeah.
But if you're not into it, then you sort of, you know,
it becomes a chore, doesn't it?
It's like, oh, I haven't done my homework, you know, because you're not interested. But if you're into it, you got ideas pop up at any point of the day or night. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that helps.
Oh, amazing.
Massively.
Well, keep an eye out for that then, for sure.
Yeah, they're a good band.
Yeah, Gareth, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time and sharing your story. I think, I find it really inspiring to know that, you know, somebody like yourself is, you know, really just pushing your creative stuff out there at the same time. And it's really hard to sort of fit everything in at the best of times. So it's so great to hear that, these stories where, you know, it really pays off. So, thank you for sharing. So there we are, another story showing that putting yourself out there, man, you could end up doing anything. And I think Gareth's story is really inspirational, actually, because he's somebody who came back to it after so long as well. And I don't know about you, Neil, but some I always get that thing in the back of my head where I'm thinking back of my head where I'm like, there's other like artistic stuff I really want to do. So I think he's proof that if you're out there and you're thinking, even if you're a little bit older, because you know you see these kids coming along now and they're like so talented, but even if you're a bit older and you want to still gun for it, then he's walking evidence of, yeah, you can do it and you can make it work for you.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. It's very kind of inspirational from that perspective. No, I'm exactly the same. Like sometimes I want to write comedy and stuff, and I've got all these ideas on my phone. Yeah. I don't know if it's down to laziness or what. Probably is. I just never get around to doing it, and it's one of those. Every time we meet up, we're like, oh, we should really write something, or we should really do that. But then,
yeah.
Also, when you speak to guys like Gareth, it's good and inspiring you to do something, but at the same time it's like, okay, like he's doing it at like a slightly older age, maybe I've got a bit of time to kind of just wait until age. So it kind of goes the other way as well. But
yeah,
no, you're right, it's absolute testament that you can do it no matter what your age. If you're talented enough, you'll make it through. But
yeah,
no, what a story. I mean, just such a chain of events of you know, the Gorillaz, Damon Albarn, but there's so many different stages of that, which is, you just couldn't write that shit. So no, it's amazing to hear stories like this, but and hopefully we can find some more in a future and get some more episodes out.
Yeah, I think so. And also, you know, if you're attracting these creative minds like Noel Gallagher and Damon Albarn, you know, that's an impressive draw already, isn't it? And if you're attracting those sort of people, yeah, you're definitely doing it right, I think. But yeah, amazing talking to Gareth, and I'll put some links below to some of his artwork and what he's done for Noel Gallagher too. They're really like sort of trippy and fun to take in, so definitely recommend everybody checking that out. But yeah, Neil, been good talking. Again, we are on MAT Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and if you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5 stars, and we will catch you for the next one. Neil, as always, a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine.